Matthew 1:23 reads, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." That's the meaning of this name, Emmanuel, God with us. Literally, with us is God. And that is a precious and a most wonderful truth that is given to all believers throughout the ages, to know that God himself, creator over heaven and earth, the all-powerful being, the majestic one on high, has also promised to be with us, to be with his creation, to walk with us, to guide us every single day of our lives. And that was the glorious truth that was made known to the people there at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what Matthew understood and recorded for us. That as they were given this promise of the fact that there will be this child being born, it came in fulfillment to that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7:14, the prophecy that we had read at the beginning of this service during the call to worship. And indeed, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You know, names in the Bible carry with it significance. Names have meaning. Oftentimes as parents, you know, we spend time to choose the names that we will give our children. But we do so not because we expect any prophetic truth to be as a result of these names, but simply because we want, or that there is perhaps expressed the desire or the hopes that the parents would have concerning their children, that they will be righteous, they will be upright, they will be those who will fear God, those who will walk in truth. And we have all these ideas in the names that we give our children. Sometimes we just choose it, well, simply because we like the name. It sounds nice. It sounds good. Or maybe we name it after a particular person that we admire or respect. Or perhaps someone that we would like our children to emulate. But when it comes to names in the Bible, it carries often with it significance. And sometimes it is prophetic as well, in a sense where the meaning of the word, we see it being played out in the life of these people. Perhaps this truth is most evident in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because the names that were given to him carry with it great significance. Jesus Christ was the name that we know our Lord most well. It is a name that is most familiar to us. And that was the name that Joseph was instructed by the angel to give this child. And we know the history, the background behind what was happening here, where Mary, who was betrothed, in a way sort of like engaged to Mary, Mary was engaged to Joseph, but she was found with child. Not because she was unfaithful in any way, the angel assured Joseph, not at all. But this is the birth of a most special child, the most significant birth out of all history, that this child was conceived not of any man, but by the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, a virgin birth. And the angel appeared unto Joseph to tell him that you will call his name Jesus. You see that in verse 21. And what is the meaning of the name Jesus? It means Savior. And that is explained in the second half of the verse. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. And we also remember him as Christ. And what is the meaning of the name Christ? Well, the word Christos is the direct translation of the Hebrew word in which we get the word Messiah. And what it means is that he is the anointed one, the one who has been prophesied from the very beginning. All through the Old Testament, we see And all these promises pointing forward to the day where this anointed one will come and save his people from their sins. And so that is the meaning behind the name Jesus Christ, the one who will come as prophet, priest, and king. And these are the three offices that require an anointing. And that is the prophecy that they would have understood, that Jesus comes indeed as fulfillment to all these prophecies, and he will come as our Savior. That's the meaning that we see in the name Jesus Christ. But there was another name, right? Another name that is often associated with his birth. Not to say that it was the only name or it was the name that was given to him. Rather, we know him more as Jesus. But yet it is a name that carries with it great meaning and significance. And that is the name that we want to consider this morning, his name, Emmanuel, God with us. It was a name that was known to them some 700 years prior to the birth of Christ in the prophecy that was given by Isaiah, that there will be this child that will be born to you, and he will be known as Emmanuel. Because what will happen at that point of time in his birth will be the miracle of the incarnation, where God himself will come down to this earth and to be made man. He will be a person, fully human, but at the same time also fully God. And he will walk with you. He will live with you in your very midst. He is God. And that was an amazing truth, and that's what Matthew recognized as he penned this gospel. That as the birth of Jesus was being announced to Joseph and Mary, what was happening was the fulfillment of this prophecy that was given by Isaiah. And that is a most precious and a comforting truth. The fact that God is with us. Yes, it happened at the point of time in history at the incarnation, where there physically manifested was the fact that Jesus is God and he is with us. But do you know this truth of the fact that God is with us? It is a timeless truth. It is a truth that always has been, and it is a truth that always will be. That God is with his people. He will be our God and we will be his people. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as we ponder and meditate upon this thought this morning, as we think of the birth of our Savior some 2,000 over years ago, now realize that while he lived at a point of time, and then he ascended unto heaven, but yet that promise of Emmanuel continues to be with us and will be with us for eternity. And that is what we want to think about this morning. What does Emmanuel mean to you? What does Emmanuel mean to me? The promise of the fact that God is here by our side, and he has promised never to leave us. Is Jesus your Emmanuel as well? Because that is a hugely comforting thought, and ought to be a hugely comforting thought to every single one of us. Are we aware of the fact that he is continually present with us? Is this something that brings us much comfort and joy in this life? Knowing that the great God of heaven above is keenly interested in our lives. That the great God who created us is also the one who has promised to walk alongside us. That is the promise of Emmanuel. And so there are a few thoughts that we want to consider as we ponder and meditate upon this whole idea of Emmanuel, God with us. The first thought is that it is prophetic. God with us prophetically. And as we have mentioned just now, right, Isaiah chapter 14 gives us that first, in a way you can say, prophetic look at the fact that one day this will happen. that one day there will be a child, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But do you know that this promise of God with us is a promise that God had always given to his people from the very beginning? It is a promise that we see sprinkled throughout Scripture. It is a promise that men of old have always clung to, even before the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And that has always been God's assurance to his people. Now, perhaps one of the most familiar passages will be the passage in Joshua chapter 1. This came to Joshua as he was preparing to take over the mantle from Moses, a great man of God. Moses had led the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, and throughout the entire period of their wilderness wandering. They had looked to Moses, but now Moses was gone. And Joshua is now called upon to take over the reins of leadership over the people. It was a daunting task, big shoes for him to fill. And how was he to fear? How was he to feel? He was afraid. The task was onerous and was set before him. He was to lead the people into the promised land. And so the Lord's word came to assure thee. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? How is it that he was able to have courage in the face of such a daunting task before him? How was he to not be afraid nor be dismayed? Because there was a lot of cause for him to worry. But then the Lord assured him, the Lord thy God is with thee. Emmanuel, he will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. He will never leave your side. And there was a promise that would come of great assurance to him. That is what will buoy up his confidence and his courage, not in himself, but in the Lord. That was what will enable him not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, because he knows he's not alone. Yes, the task before him was great. And it would be a difficult years of his life as he brings the people across the River Jordan, as he marches round the walls of Jericho, uncertain if this is really what will come true, that the walls will really crumble. As he faced setback and defeat in the conquest of Ai, and sin entered into the camp. As he will be faced with the Gibeonites and make that mistake of accepting them as allies, when they were actually the neighbors that they were supposed to conquer. And all throughout that many year-long campaign, this will be the promise that he has to cling to. In moments of doubt and uncertainty, in times of fear, he must remember, God is with me. And just as God was with his servant Moses, God continues to be with me, and he guides me every step of the way. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And that will grant him the strength to continue. And that is what we see common in many of these men of old, men of faith as well. For example, to Jacob. And after he had betrayed his brother and his father and lied to them, and he was fleeing and he was going north to seek refuge with Laban, his uncle. And he stopped by and he had that dream in Bethel, where there was that ladder of the angels ascending and descending. And he says, oh, how terrible was this place. But in the midst of that was that same wonderful promise, where the Lord appeared to him and said, I am that Lord, the Lord of your father Abraham, Isaac, and I want to be your God as well. And what is my promise to you? Genesis 28 verse 15. And he says, behold, I am with thee. God himself is speaking. I am with thee. God with us. God with you. He says, I will keep thee. I'll protect you in all the places that you go. And I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What a wonderful promise. Because he will face his share of setback and trials and difficulties as well, as he will go up north. And he will have to labor many, many years for his uncle. And he will be betrayed as well, for the uncle will continually change the terms of their agreement, and he'll be robbed of his flock. But yet that promise will ring true, even as he returned back to Israel. And that fear of his brother was constantly before him, but that promise will enable him and strengthen him to know that God is with him. And God will promise to never leave thee, but to take care of thee and keep him in all the places that he will go to. That is what God had always promised his people. But you see, up to that point of time, it had always been a promise, but a promise that was spiritual in nature. Because while God had promised to be with them, the incidences in which they will hear directly from God or see him will be few and far between. And so that promise, while precious, perhaps will not always be fully experienced or realized, not because of God's failing, but because of man's failures. In the sense where in the times in which we cannot see God, we forget him and we lose sight of this precious promise given to them. But as much as it was by way of promise and it was by way of prophecy for them in the Old Testament, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this promise was now realized physically. That's the second thought that we want to have. The first thought, God with us prophetically, and we see that throughout the Old Testament. But then God with us happened then physically. And it happened at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when that happened, that miracle of the incarnation, what was happening was that God was coming down to this earth physically to be made as a man and to appear in the very presence of his creation. And you know, in this promise, in this incarnation, really, we see the love that God has for his people. You see, many other religions, they speak of a God and they claim to also believe in the notion of a God. But oftentimes that God is distant, aloof, afar off. Yes, he is a higher power and a greater being, but he is not personally involved or concerned about the lives and affairs of his people. But that is not who our God is. Our God is a personal God, and he came down personally to be with us. For what purpose? For the sake of saving his people from their sins. Because God knew that if it were not for the direct intervention in the midst of his people, if he did not come down personally to live that perfect life and then to sacrifice himself as a punishment for our sins, mankind is lost, condemned, undone. And there is nothing that we can do to save us except God himself comes to be with us. And that was what happened as the child was found in Mary, as she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. God was there implanted in the womb of that human, of that woman, Mary. As she was born that day, as he was born that day in that manger in Bethlehem, there was God coming into this world, made in the likeness of man, being found, fashioned as man. What a wonderful, precious thought this is. That he will constrain himself to that physical limitation of being human. He will go through those difficulties of having to rest, of facing physical tiredness and weariness, of needing to eat and to breathe, of being only at one place at one time. He had to limit himself to all these limitations. That is what God did for us in coming down to this earth to be made fully man, while at the same time also yet fully God. But that was not it. He was subject to interaction with sinful men, of people who will mock at him, scorn at him, laugh at him, make fun of his ministry, of his words, to try to trap him and cause him to sin. But that is the precious thing of our Savior, that he now becomes our great high priest, who is not touched, is not as one who is distant and unable to experience the infirmities of man. No, he was tempted in all points like as we were, yet without sin. He experienced fully what it means to be man. And then finally, he experienced death on the cross, that most painful and excruciating death, so that he can be made that sacrifice for us. And what a precious and a glorious truth that is, isn't it? To see Christ coming down to this earth as this visible manifestation, that visibly they can see him, that this unchanging truth that God had promised to his people, that God is with us, he is now actually physically here. And that was something that the disciples cherished and held dear to all the days of their lives. And they were right about it. I'd like to focus now, turn your attention to the writings of the Apostle John. And that is something that he will continually remember throughout his life on earth. Something that will be so precious to him. That's what he wrote in his epistle in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, in the opening few verses of this book, he writes, "That which was from beginning, which we have heard, and we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Word of life, Jesus Christ himself. And he says, "For the life was manifested, it was revealed to us, and we have seen it, and we bear witness." To who? To the Lord Jesus Christ, "and show unto you that eternal life which was with God the Father and was manifested unto us." He says that is the most precious and enduring truth that we have. The fact that Jesus Christ came and we saw him with our eyes. We held him in our hands. I remember that is what John himself experienced as he laid on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He handled, touched, and felt the presence of the Lord with him physically. What a blessed thing it was for him to experience. And so that was a memory that remained with him all the days of his life. And then now he tells us, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." He says, "I tell you of this precious truth, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with God, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship with this is with him. Why? Because God is with us. God was with him and he experienced that. And he says, "I want to share this wonderful and blessed truth with you." Elsewhere, he also writes in the Gospel of John, same disciple. In Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14, and he said, "The Word was made flesh." And you know, in the writings of John, well, oftentimes he uses his word, right? The Logos. He was with us, and this represents really the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made flesh. He became person, a physical person, and he dwelt with us. He lived amongst us, and we beheld, we saw his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of his Father, full of grace and truth. And that was something that he will hold dear to his with him the rest of his life, and he was something that he will continually testify and share about. Not by way of a boast, not because he wants to show off, "Oh, I was walking with Jesus," but because he wants us to understand and experience how precious this truth really is, that God is with us. Because you may now say, "Well, yes, fine and well for the Apostle John. Right, good for the shepherds. They saw Jesus lying in that manger. But we don't see Jesus. He's not here with us anymore. We can't walk with him. We can't see him. We can't hear his words." But you see, this promise of Emmanuel, as I mentioned at the very beginning, is not just for the disciples that were with him or those people that witnessed his birth. It is a promise that extends to all believers at all times. Which brings us to our third thought, that it is God with us presently, right now. All right, so a series of P's that helps us to remember, right? God with us prophetically. It's been told to us throughout the entire Old Testament. It is a constant promise that God's people held on to. But then at the incarnation, at the birth of Christ, it was God with us physically. And so we know that at a point of time in history, God demonstrated and manifested this truth to us at the birth of the Savior. But then it is also God with us presently. Because even right now, that promise continues to extend to us. What promise? The fact that God is with us. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples as he ascended up into heaven. And so we know that Jesus was here physically, but that was only for the 33 years of his life. Because at the end of it, he was crucified on the cross. He died. He literally died. And then he was buried. But then he rose again on the third day with that glorified body. But he did not stay long. Because soon after, he ascended into heaven. But before he left, he gave this wonderful promise to his disciples. And that comes to us at the end of this book, right? In the Gospel of Matthew. We looked at the beginning of the Gospel, where it tells us that Jesus came and it was Emmanuel, God with us. But it ends with that same glorious promise, because before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, he left the disciples with this same promise. And you see that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Right, Gospel of Matthew 28, verse 18 to verse 20. And these were some of the final words that Jesus spake to his disciples. And he told them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so this was his charge to them, the Great Commission. Go forth and spread my word. Tell everyone about Christ. Teach them all these things which I have taught you. But how? How will you be able to do that? What will enable you to go forth and be my apostles? It is the same glorious promise. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, unto the uttermost parts of the world. Promise rings true that I am with you. And that promise now extends to us in the present as well. Because as although we do not have the person of Christ physically with us, spiritually he abides with us and he's ever by our side. That is the promise to every single believer. And how does that come? Well, it comes by way of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples prior to leaving, right? In that long discourse that he had with him in the upper room, right? Moments before his death, the very day before he left, he told them, right? In Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, right? All these three chapters is one single discourse that he has with the disciples. And in it, he assures them of the fact that I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not just abandoning you. Yes, I will go to the cross and I will die and physically I won't be with you anymore. But that does not mean I'm abandoning you. No, that's far from the truth. He says, it is necessary that I will go, because if I will not go, then the other comforter cannot come. Speaking of the fact that if I am not crucified on the cross, right, then the gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be to all believers. But I must go and finish the work which God had sent me to do so that every believer can enjoy the indwelling and the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he tells them, that I will go and I will pray the Father that he will send another comforter. And the word for another here is really another of the same type, of the same kind. That just as Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is God as well. And so that same promise can continue and extend to all believers throughout all the ages, that God is with us. Emmanuel rings true throughout all the ages, because presently, right now, yes, here as well, God is with us. God is with you, every dear child of God. Do you believe that? More importantly, do you experience that daily? As you go through this life, as you face whatever challenges and trials that is before you, are you buoyed up by the fact that I am not alone here, but that I have this Holy Spirit of truth that will be able to guide me into all truth? As I am tempted by the wiles of the devil, are you assured of the fact that the Holy Spirit is there to reprove us, to rebuke us, and to bring us back unto the Lord? That still small voice that speaks to us, that as we face an uncertain future, are we assured of the fact that God is with us and He is leading us each step of the way, that we are not left here comfortless? But Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, continues to walk with us and guide us every single day, that we can know His will, that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, because God is with us. And that is a promise for us, to all of us, right now here in the present. Do we experience that? Do we treasure that? Do we cherish that? Because while we may not have witnessed with our eyes the birth of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, that same glorious promise that Matthew wrote of is to all of us, to all believers, right now in the present. But you know, it doesn't just end there. Because this promise of Emmanuel, God with us, is for us presently while we live on this earth. But it is also a promise that will extend perpetually. And that's the final thought, the final P, right? God with us prophetically, God with us physically or personally, God with us presently, right now. But it is also the fact that God will be with us permanently, forever and ever in eternity. And that's a glorious promise that we look forward to even as we are here right now on this earth. And that is the promise that we see in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's a passage that Paul writes, you know, the Christians at Thessalonica, assuring them, comforting them, and concerning those people who had died. And they were worried, what is to become of them? And so he says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Please know this, that one day the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come again, the second time. And what will happen at that second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is that there will be this rapture where we will all be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what he shares with us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Right, we look from verse 16 onwards. And he says, what will happen when the Lord returns a second time? He says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Every believer throughout all the ages that have ever believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity awaits them. And they shall rise with a new body. And they shall be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we, or anyone that is alive and remain at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we will meet the Lord in the air. And there will be that glorious day where we will all be united with the Lord. And what will happen there? And so, verse 17, the last line, shall we ever be with the Lord? Again, that same promise that we will be with the Lord. But this time, it will be physically and for eternity. And so all these thoughts that we have covered prophetically, physically, presently. It will all be now realized for eternity. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and this will now be permanent. But will we be with Him? And we will no longer ever be separated from Him forever and ever and ever. Is this something that we look forward to? Is this the heaven that we truly desire even as we live right now on this earth? Because yes, while the Lord is with us right now, you know, that fellowship that we have with the Lord is not always perfect. Why? Because of our sins. Because the many times in which we sin, we are driving a wedge between us and God. The Bible tells us that if we are in sin, the Lord will not hear our prayers. If we are in sin, we are under the displeasure of God. And yes, we repent and we return unto Him and draw nigh unto Him as well. But there will be times in which we draw apart and we are distant. We go our own way. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and when we are caught up to meet Him in the clouds of the air, when we are granted that glorified body, it will be for eternity. And that is the promise that we see being described for us in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 21, when it is described for us the glories of the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth, we see again that same wonderful, glorious promise given to us. In Revelation 21, in verse 3, and that is what he says, "And I heard a great voice," and this was the vision that John had concerning what heaven will be like. And he says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" What does tabernacle mean? Literally, it's the tents of God, referring to the dwelling place, the place where God is staying at. "It is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God himself shall be with them." Same promise, God shall be with them. God with us, Emmanuel, will be for eternity. "And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, nor death, neither sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things are passed away." Because that promise will be realized to its fullest and highest degree, where we can be with God perfectly in unity with Him forever and ever and ever. Is that something that we truly and dearly look forward to, even as we go through this life here on earth? Is that a promise that we look forward to? It's like how the Apostle Paul constantly spoke of this yearning and this desire. He says, "I am in a strait betwixt two." Is having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, he knew that he had a duty and an obligation to remain and to stay with you for their sake, for their spiritual state. But, you know, he says, you know, this is like I am in a strait betwixt two, and this is a choice which I do not know what to make. And, of course, he did not need to make that choice, but you know, he was sharing the feelings of his heart, because he knew that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's something that every believer ought to look forward to, that one day Emmanuel will be fully realized in our lives, that forever and ever and ever, for eternity, we will be with the Lord whom we love so dearly. Presence, the presence of the Lord. You see, that is something that we all yearn for, to be in the presence of our dear ones, of our loved ones. Because that brings us much comfort. That brings us much joy in this life when we are in the presence of the ones whom we love. And perhaps we have felt that most keenly in this particular year, when many had not been able to travel and they had been separated from their loved ones for so long. And even during this Christmas period, many people are not able, because of the present restrictions and, of course, the fact that this pandemic is still going on, that we are not able to be in the presence, the direct presence of our loved ones. And sometimes that, of course, brings us sorrow and grief. But in the midst of all that, we can remember this wonderful promise that God has promised presently, right now, that I am with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And one day for eternity, you will ever be with the Lord. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that the assurance that we have in this present life? Is that something that brings us great delight and joy? As we face a world filled with fears and uncertainties, as we know that there are so many things outside of our control, this one single truth can and will bring us much assurance to know that God is with us, as he was with the men of old throughout the ages, as he walked with the disciples. He promises that right now he is with us, and for eternity he will be with us forever and ever as well. That is the precious truth that we see in this name that was given to Jesus. They shall call his name Emmanuel. And as we rejoice this Christmas, as we sing these praises, declaring that Jesus is with us, Emmanuel, may this be a truth that brings us much comfort, assurance, and encouragement as well. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this glorious truth that thou hast brought to us this Christmas morning. As we ponder on Emmanuel, God with us, may this be words of great comfort to every one of us, to know that God has promised that he will be with us. He will go before us and prepare the way for us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us unto the ends of the world. And as we look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternity in heaven with him, may we continue to serve thee all the days of our lives, even right now in the present. And we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.